On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
And welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. That's right. Thrilled to welcome former UVA receiver and All-American Joe Reed to the show as a presenting sponsor with Alcova Mortgage. Let Joe help score the perfect home today for you. We will have Joe Reed on the podcast a couple times with this partnership. So looking forward to talking to Joe. Always one of my favorite guys to come out of the UVA football program. But today, I've got Greg Medea back from the Daily Progress, and we got a kind of a UVA smorgasbord of topics to talk about. UVA who's du jour, if you will, today, Greg. We got early season baseball, we've got late season basketball, and we got spring football. And we're going to cover this in a two-part show. So, Greg, thanks for coming on again.
Yeah, Preston, happy to be back. And I feel like Joe maybe missed some NIL opportunities while he was in school, right? That sounded very natural for him to be a sponsor at a show.
Yeah, he, you know, he always had a great way of talking. You know, maybe there's some kind of return thing that you could do there with the kick returning. I don't know, but yeah, glad to have him part of the Saber family with his sponsorship. But Greg, let's get into some early season baseball. We have seen Virginia through six games so far, two really tough tournaments down in Puerto Rico. For the Puerto Rico Challenge, and then this last weekend for the Round Rock Classic out in Texas. They're 3-3 overall now, down to number 10 in the D1 baseball rankings, 1-2 at that Round Rock Classic, and two of those losses, of course, coming in walk-off fashion. What are your just early thoughts? And we'll get into some more of the nitty-gritty so far. So overall thoughts on kind of where this team is to start the year.
I think first and foremost, Brian O'Connor knew these early season showcase tournament events would not be easy, right? There's a reason you sign up to play them. It's to challenge your team. It's not to assume you're going to roll through and start unbeaten. It certainly challenged Virginia. They saw some really good arms, I think probably better arms down in Round Rock than they did out in Puerto Rico. And you know, and what Oklahoma and what Oregon State's pitcher Friday night, he's a top 100, you know, Major League Baseball draft prospect. So it certainly will prepare them for what they're going to see in a week and a half when they open ACC play against Boston College and get rolling into conference play. So I think that's kind of the big takeaway is you sign up knowing you may not win all these games and you will be tested a little bit. I think on the positive, the pitching looks very, very strong. The tough part for Virginia is all those experienced bats, veterans that you thought were going to bash the baseball out of the gate. It's just been a little bit of a slow start.
And we talked about it before the season. This is the first time in quite a while that Virginia has really challenged themselves in the non-conference like this, at least since, like, you know, 2017, 18, some of those seasons they started off in some pretty big league tournaments. It's not the Gardner-Webb tournament they had a couple of years ago. It's not some of these, you know, I think they had one back in, like, Myrtle or Wilmington or something like that. So it's not those. This is a higher level of competition now. And I think you're seeing that, you know, teams all the time get off to slow starts in the season. So, you know, I know a lot of people want to start the panic flag. And I think some of that panic flag might be residue left over from football and basketball season, just kind of bleeding into baseball. But I think it's a little too early to kind of sound the sirens so far.
I think too, like last year they went down to Jacksonville and similar type event, right? That was a pretty good field down in Jacksonville.
Absolutely.
But that was just one of them. That was just a one-off weekend of that tough early season competition. This is back-to-back weekends to start the year. Not to mention, you're traveling out to Puerto Rico, you're going down to Texas. I know it was not easy for the program to get down to Texas. dealing with some airplane de-icing issues from what I had heard, and then you got to get down there. So I you know, between the competition, the travel, right? We talked about this on your preview podcast, Preston, is the travel was going to be very, very different and very, very challenging for this Virginia program this year. I don't know how many miles it is to get to Puerto Rico and Texas, but you're already logged over a couple of thousand miles at least through the air. And you haven't, you've still got to go to Cal, you still got to go down to Florida State. Like, that was something that we had talked about that was going to challenge them in different ways that really you hadn't seen too much before. So I think that's something you got to think about too.
And get to play the home game up until this afternoon, which I know you'll be there for their home opener against VMI. Yeah, 8-game homestand starting now, so that'll certainly be nice for those guys just to kind of be at home and kind of start to try to shake off some of this rust. Because also, I mean, we have to remember we kind of made light of it at the time, but they got a really late start to practice this year with all the snow and winter weather and everything. I know they practice in the indoor facility, the football indoor facility. But of course, that's not quite the same as being out on the field and getting those reps. So that'll certainly be something to watch. Looking at going forward, we can't paint all of this as bright and pretty and everything like that. So we're gonna do a little bit of good, pretty good, and ugly so far. So we're going to start out with the good, the UVA bullpen so far. They've allowed 9 earned runs in their 6 games. And it's really just a variety of names contributing that kind of makes you feel good, especially considering the level of competition so far. You've seen Ryan Osinski out of the bullpen, Matt Lazendorfer, Drew Conan, Wes Arrington. Most of those guys are new guys to the bullpen, and they look pretty good so far. And I know we heard yesterday from Brian O'Connor that Matt Augustine's probably going to be on the shelf for a little while, so it's good that some of these guys are stepping up.
Yeah, and I think what's so fascinating to me is the last few years they've kind of supplemented their rotation with veteran graduate transfer type pitchers. This year they're doing it with the bullpen, right? And there's kind of you go off the last few years, there's a little bit of a track record and an eye for bringing up talent from the lower levels and making it work at the D1 level in power conference baseball. And I think the early returns on Lazendorfer and Arrington, guys who had been for the D3 level. I mean, even a catcher, not to go to the position player side yet, but even the catcher, Trey Wells, when he got his start, he made a pretty, excuse me. He made a pretty good showing in his first start as a member of the Cavaliers. So there's a little bit of a track record there, and I think it's so fascinating when you bring those guys up and they perform at a very high level. And it's a couple of different looks, right? I mean, Lanzendorfer is like a lefty, and after they lost Angelo Tonis following last season, you needed an arm from the left side to come in and contribute alongside Blake Barker. So you throw him in the mix, and then you got Conan and O'Shell and Osinski, all a little bit different styles. I thought O'Shell looked good too. So there's some promise there for the bullpen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of came away most impressed with Osinski. I think probably the better
Yeah.
the first weekend,
Yeah.
but some serious heat on his pitches. And that's kind of what this team was lacking a lot of times last year, is they didn't have guys that were kind of getting into those mid to upper 90s numbers. And I think a D1 posted that he was one of the fastest fastballs or fastest velocities of that opening weekend. I think he reached the triple digits in that
Impressive.
game, that outing he had. So yeah, good stuff from the bullpen so far. And that's kind of, with the pitching problems this team has had over the last couple of years, you kind of rest a little easier knowing that, all right, well, you got some solutions there. The starting pitching, I know it's usually the good, the bad, the ugly, but I think the starting pitching has been pretty good so far. Especially when you consider we have not seen Evan Blanco, the preseason All-American, All-ACC contributor from last year. He will make his debut for this season debut against VMI today. A little bit of a pitch count, pretty short
Yeah.
pitch, pretty short leash, but I think the goal there is get him out there today, probably see another bullpen, and then eventually return to the weekend rotation, maybe in the not so distant future, as long as everything goes well. But the starting pitching overall, 8 earned runs, 24 hits through those 6 games. I think the standout obviously has been the freshman Tomas Valančiūnas. We could take some time to talk about him. 16 strikeouts in 12 innings. I've also liked Bryson Moore a lot in his starts. He was one of my breakout candidates before the season. And Jay Wolfolk, I think this last start, he's probably going to be one he wants back. But I thought the first start wasn't that bad after that first inning. So we could start with Valančiūnas and go from there.
Valančiūnas, I kind of hinted on your pod on the preview pod that I had heard some pretty good things about Valančiūnas behind the scenes. I didn't know it was going to be this good, right? He striking out, better than one per inning through his first few starts. You look at what he's doing on the mound, and I think what impressed Brian O'Connor was even after he gave up a few runs against Oklahoma, he came out the next inning and then shut them down. So that was promising. O'Connor had said that he liked that from a freshman to be able to bounce back. And there's some credit there because you're going to go through ups and downs on the mound, especially as you get through ACC play. And then I think just having a guy that talented, right? You've heard kind of throughout that he's probably as good as you get for a freshman that's not going in the draft. So I think that's a credit. And guys who played with him at the Baylor school, Henry Ford, Henry Godbout had told me, he might be the best arm that they have. No, nothing else to that besides that. So that tells you what kind of talent Valančiūnas has as he gets prepared to this fresh to go through this freshman season. It's going to be fascinating to see what they do with the weekend rotation, because right now, it'd be tough to take him out. When Blanco gets back to full strength.
I'm not really sure how that all is going to play out at this point, because obviously Blanco's got to go right back in there once he's up to full strength, because you've seen what he can do on big stages in ACC play and obviously in the postseason last year too. I think Bryson Moore has certainly earned a shot to kind of stick around that weekend rotation with what he's done. And obviously Valančiūnas is kind of that tantalizing arm out there, and you're just like, keep pushing it and see what else this guy can do. So it's definitely an embarrassment of riches right now for Virginia as far as the starting pitching goes. I think Jay Wolfolk too still has a lot of ability, and
Oh,
we don't
yeah.
want to Don't take anything away from a couple appearances here and there. I know last year he got off to a really rough start, but just look what he did in the postseason last year. This guy can turn it around. So there's certainly a lot of options there. Also, another thing, we have only seen Chris Arroyo pitch once so far. A
Yeah.
pretty short outing down in Puerto Rico. So interested to see kind of where they go with him from here, because Brian O'Connor was very adamant before the season,
He was going to pitch in a rotation.
he's got to be in the rotation because you can't. It's hard to get him into a relief spot, but that's what he's been doing so far. And on those days, we've seen that he'll switch the DH, and Henry Ford will go to first base, and they'll sh reshuffle the outfield a little bit. So we'll kind of have to wait and see what that development's going to look like. But overall, pitching really strong. Now let's get to the ugly so far, because the bats have not awakened from their winter slumber yet. Team is hitting 229, which is ranked 223rd nationally in the country right now. And that's bizarre, because you're used to seeing this Virginia team up in the top five for batting average, even early on in the season. So what would you take away just from the bats right now? And my biggest thing is, there's a lot of veterans on this team and in that lineup that you're just kind of like, they're gonna figure it out eventually. You gotta feel.
Yeah, I mean, eventually the back of the baseball card is what'll stick, right? Eventually they'll figure it out. But in the early going, it's not been pretty. Harrison Ditewick, 2 for 22, no homers. Jacob Ferentz, no homers, right? Those guys combined for 40 last year, and it's been a little bit of a struggle out of the gate. I think probably from who's doing well, Aiden Teel might have looked the best this past weekend. Maybe Eric Becker overall. Other than that, it's been a little bit of a slog. I know Brian O'Connor said that he wanted to see a little bit more aggressiveness in the approach. And he thought, Teal is showing that he's playing a little more loose, a little more free. So you have to wonder if maybe there's just some early season pressing going on, right? Guys who've been talked up all off season, who've been really, sung the praises because it's such a, potential absurdly good lineup 1 through 9, that it's that maybe they want to live up to that. It hasn't worked out. I thought the Michigan starter and the opener in Puerto Rico was pretty good. Obviously, Oregon State's starter was really good. It's just a matter of time before they figure it out. Maybe they need to face some of these non-conference teams to get their or non-Power Five teams, I should say, to get their confidence back. But for now, it's been a slog, and I don't think it would be right to totally overhaul the lineup or make some changes when you have so many returning players. And Brian O'Connor, he said, he doesn't want to show any panic, doesn't want to show any lack of confidence in his team. But I think you'll see some tinkering and some adjusting until it starts to feel right. But I wouldn't sense any massive overhauls.
Yeah, and even when the lineup is doing well, he's done some tinkering in the past. We saw that last year, some guys moving up and down the lineup. Ethan Anderson was all over the lineup last year. But yeah, looking at it so far, Didowick and Hanson are hitting under 100 on the season, and you have six guys that are hitting 250 or lower, and you expect that to kind of raise up. I mean, we've seen Henry Ford and Jacob Ferentz hit for average, and Harrison Didowick bring a lot of power to the lineup. But I have been most, surprised so far with Aiden Teal, because he was a guy I expected to, hit, some power and, produce some runs, but at the same time, like, he's hitting above 300 at the moment, and he wasn't necessarily a guy I thought could hit for average, so we'll see if that continues to go throughout the rest of the season. But he's been good, and I think the two guys you have at the top of the lineup have been pretty solid so far, and Eric Becker and Henry Godbout, but you expect them to improve as well as we get through the season. All right, we're going to take a quick break as baseball keeps going, and we're going to talk a little bit about basketball when we come back from the break, as they only have 4 games left in their regular season. We'll talk about that coming up on the Who's On podcast.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome back into the Who's On podcast, part of the Sabre Podcast Network. Greg Medea is still with me here as we talk about some UVA hoops. Real quick here, they have 4 games remaining in the regular season. They are at Wake Forest late night on Wednesday. Then they have Clemson coming on Saturday. And then they round out the schedule against Florida State next Tuesday and at Syracuse on Saturday to close the regular season. Just Greg, you were in Chapel Hill. Just your thoughts on kind of a really disappointing performance, especially seeing what they had done during that 3-game winning streak. Duke was a little bit of a setback, but not really, because you kind of expected that against the Blue Devils. But then going against this Carolina team, expected a little bit more than what they got.
I'd say the start was the problem. I mean, you can't go down 21-2 and expect to win. As Ron Sanchez said afterwards, they just dug too big of a hole. Really did themselves a disservice, and because they played well after that, after giving Carolina a 19 spot, they played well. I wouldn't say they played well. They played okay afterward.
They outscored him after the 21-2 start. The problem was the first 8 minutes of the game.
Right. I think it was what 64-60 after that 21-2 start, is what I remember writing. I just, the rebounding is a massive problem. There's no other way to around it. It's crazy to me. I don't know if you recognize this too, but against Duke had 10 rebounds before Virginia had one. Against Carolina, the same thing happened. Carolina had 10 rebounds before Virginia had one. that just can't happen, right? I mean, it's as simple as that, especially when you consider some of those rebounds are coming on the offensive end for the opponent, and they're getting second chance opportunities. And really what's hurt this Virginia team these last two games is, Isaiah Evans against Duke hitting that second chance three-pointer a couple of times. And it happened against Carolina too, where you're just giving them extra possessions and extra points. And I think for Virginia, Ron Sanchez recognizes it's been a struggle defensively. And he says, you can focus in all you want, but if you don't have that attitude of like a score and a stop, a score and a stop, then you're just going to give up points. And that's been an issue for UVA.
Yeah, and I will say to the defensive point, that's been a problem. I mean, they are the worst defense in Virginia program history dating back as far as the efficiency numbers go. So that's back into the late 90s. That's just where they are at this point. But on the other side of that, I think there's some different things that maybe they need to be doing. If you look at the per 100 possession numbers and the defensive rating, the two players with the highest defensive rating in the program right now are Jacob Kofi and Anthony Robinson. And those guys against North Carolina, let me make sure I have this right. Robinson played 17 minutes off the bench. Jacob Kofi played 13 minutes off the bench, and he was just taken out of the starting lineup this week in favor of Elijah Saunders. Long athletic bigs. Usually translates to good defense. And I know they're young. They are a step slow a lot of the times, and they miss some coverages. But I think if you look at the numbers there, they have the highest defensive rating, and then Anthony Robinson actually has the highest offensive rating on the team as well. And I mean, catching and dunking is pretty
Pretty efficient.
sounds
Pretty
pretty
efficient.
simple, and it's pretty efficient. Yeah, it works if you can
I
do it.
think just to shed some light on Kofi, I had asked Ron a little bit about Kofi on Monday during the ACC Zoom, and what he had said was, the reason why Kofi had to come out of the starting lineup was they felt like he'd been getting in too much foul trouble too often. I think he said, he picked up a couple of fouls against Duke within the first few minutes of the game, and then you're playing without him anyway. So at least if you bring him off the bench, then you can get helped out. I mean, to me, it kind of reminds me of Caden Shedrick a few years ago, right? UVA had him in a starting lineup and then tried him on the bench. He still couldn't stay out of foul trouble. But that's what you gotta figure out, and some of it will just grow. I think Kofi hit a little bit of that freshman wall that you see. I just think he was probably a little better early in the year, and Sanchez said he's trying to coach him through that too. Robinson, on the other hand, like if you look at the three front court or four front court players for Virginia, like Robinson's ascended in the right direction. Like he's trending positively, and you can see the development, which is a credit to Ron and that staff. On the other hand, like the three other front court players are probably going the other way, in Kofi, Saunders, and Blake Buchanan. Like you haven't seen the uptick in the progression, which is probably frustrating if you're a Virginia fan. That said, they got to find a way to rebound it better, and some of that comes down to individual effort. And not all the time is it on the bigs. They're missing out on those loose balls, those ricochets off missed three-pointers, and that's got to be incredibly frustrating for the defense when you get a stop and then the ball somehow finds its way. Like Con Knipple had a few of those where he out-hustled Virginia for a rebound. That's tough to take when you think you're playing good defense and all of a sudden you give up an extra shot.
Well, also in conjunction with the effort is the defensive system that they're playing right now. There's a lot of heavy switching, which is
Switching,
taking some of the bigs away from the rim. And you're going to have smaller guys trying to box out bigger guys to grab rebounds. And this is kind of what happens. And I know they did the switching because they're trying to fix some defensive issues. And then that kind of takes away from your rebounding. Because during that 3-game win streak, they're actually rebounding the ball at a pretty good
pretty well,
rate. And this last couple of games, it's kind of slipped away from them. And I think that it coincides with the more aggressive switching scheme. And back on Kofi, we did a stock up, stock down episode recently. And I was stocked down on Jacob Kofi just because the last couple of games, I still think he has great potential in the future, but I was stocked down because it seems like he's starting to kind of wear down with the ACC season.
Yeah.
Whereas Anthony Robinson, didn't get as much playing time early on. And he's kind of rising up now, but
I think Kobe
really
played
interesting.
better Saturday. Saturday, I thought he was better than he was, really for the last few weeks.
I absolutely agree. All right, real quick, last four games. Before the UNC game, we kind of did what's the record down the stretch, and I said 2-3. How do you feel these last four games?
Clemson's going to be very, very tough. Wake, especially coming off the loss to NC State, you got to think Wake's going to be a little bit more focused, a little bit more honed in.
You would hope
Those
so.
that, these Wake UVA games have been pretty competitive. I think the last five, all while Forbes has been the Wake head coach, four of the five have been decided by 10 points or fewer. So it's going to be probably pretty competitive. I think the lone exception was last January when UVA got kind of pummeled down in Winston-Salem when they were in that horrible stretch last season in like December and January. But anyway, I think it'll be competitive. I just have a hard time seeing Wake not show up for kind of a second straight game. UVA's got to defend Salas too, right? That's a big issue. Had 21 in that game last year in Winston-Salem, so he's one to watch, but. Beyond that, like the winnable games, you probably got to win, the Florida State game, and you got to win the Syracuse game. You do that, and you probably feel okay about yourself going into the ACC tournament.
Yeah, I think that's, it might be another 0-2 week. You hope it's closer games, but you got to get those last two, and then put yourself in position to win a game, maybe two, once you get to the ACC tournament down in Charlotte. So, all right, that is going to do it for part one. We talked some baseball, talked some basketball. Stay tuned for part two. It's going to come out a little bit later in the week, but we're going to talk about some spring football as that gets going on Monday. So stay tuned for that part.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.